Region, Manteca, California.
My name is Brian. I'm an addict. First of all, I'd say thank God for Narcotics Anonymous, and thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. I'm grateful to be here, and I'm grateful to be clean. I don't even need this mic. You know, it's a great honor and a privilege to be asked here to come up and share my experience, strength, and hope. And I want to thank the committee for asking me that, and I want to thank all of you guys for all of the love that I've received today, because this has been a really great day for me. Thank you so much. Relationships. You know, I have 30 minutes to talk about relationships. I don't know how that's going to be possible, but we're going to try. And I've asked God to speak through me and use me as a vessel so that I could just help that one addict that's having a struggle in a relationship. And I know that I got a lot of experiences with relationships. You know, I believe in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, everything deals with relationships. The whole program is about relationships. You know, when I first came to Narcotics Anonymous, it was important for me to identify that I needed to actually reach out and get a relationship with somebody, because the relationship that I had at that particular time was doing me no good. And the relationship that I had was, it was me, myself, and I. And I could do nothing but continue to use drugs against my will. See, I have this disease that tells me I don't even have a disease, right? I have this thing inside of me that tells me if I put something inside of me, I'm going to feel different about the way that I'm feeling. And then what happens is when I do it, my disease tells me, why the fuck did you do that? And so what I had to do was, and I suffer from the one of my major character defects is distrust of others. Distrust of others. And what it was important for me to do was to reach out and ask for help. Now, I started to see certain things as you know, I thank God for H&I, because H&I introduced me to Narcotics Anonymous. Anybody who takes part in H&I, please, I want to give you a round of applause. Thank you so much for being a part of Narcotics Anonymous. Hospitals and institutions is what H&I is for the newcomer. What happened was H&I came in, and this man was up here talking, and he was talking about me. He was talking about his relationship with his wife and how he would do certain things with his wife back in the day, and I was actually partaking in those certain things. Like, I'm a wife beater. I'm going to share it right out there. I'm not one of those guys that's like scared to talk about every goddamn thing, because you shouldn't have asked me to share, because I might touch some areas that may not be okay, but it's okay because it's okay. And it's okay because I talked about it. Pain shared is pain lessened. So what happened was this man was talking about how he abused his wife. And I was going through that same thing, all based upon my distrust of others. See, my disease tells me that everybody that's close to me is out to get me. So what happens is that's the thing called isolation, and it always wants me to stay in myself. Man, stay with yourself, because you can't trust nobody. All based upon some limitations of my past. And I say limitations of my past because certain things have happened to me as a child that has created this distrust of others. And I found this out through some step working process, right? So this guy's up here and he's talking about, you know, all these things that are happening. And I'm saying, man, this ain't got nothing to do with dope. And I said, but these are the reasons why I use. And it was going into like this true nature, right? It was going into like inside of the spirit, right? And I was like feeling this man talk about certain things. And like he was touching me on a deep level. And I like reached out to this person, right? It says in our literature that our earliest involvement with others often begins with our sponsor. And so my first relationship in Narcotics Anonymous happened to be with my sponsor. And so a lot of my topic today is going to be a relationship with my sponsor. Thank God for sponsorship. And I'm here to tell you that I got the best sponsor in the fucking world. I'm talking about the baddest motherfucking sponsor. And if you don't believe that, you might want to take a look at your sponsorship, because if you don't believe you got the baddest sponsor in the world, you might want to see if you can really trust this person. Because that's one of the requirements of sponsorship. If I actually need to actually get rid of some things that are inside of me to become free, I need to actually trust this person. And it says in our literature, man, I'm a literature guy. I have developed a relationship with the literature of Narcotics Anonymous. And I don't like people talking smack about the literature, because the literature is the program. And I believe in the program. And it says in our literature, again, that we tend to live what we believe. So I believe in the program, right? And so my sponsor was guiding me through this step working process. He was saying, man, why don't you understand a little bit about your disease before we jump you right into the first step? And I was like, what do you mean, man? Everybody's trying to take steps. What are you talking about, man? I don't trust you. Distrust of others. And what he said was, he says, how are you going to admit powerlessness over something that you don't even know what it is? I was like, what are you talking about? He says, why don't you get a relationship with the first 22 pages to be able to identify what your true problem is? And so what I understand today is in the first step, it says we admitted that we were powerless over the disease of addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. And so in the first 22 pages, I was introduced to what I really had inside of me. What I really had inside of me was something that I couldn't put a name to it. But I kept going to, like, jail. You know, like, just been to jail, and you, like, don't know why you keep going back to jail, but you keep ending up in the same places again and again. I'm talking about, like, I would use against my will. I'd have my, you know, the thing that I used to do the dope that I did, because it don't matter what the fuck dope you did. It just matters that you was using, right? And I would do the thing that I would do, and I would get so mad because I couldn't stop using, and I would throw it against the fucking wall. And then 2 seconds later, my disease would say, go get that shit. And I'll pick up the pieces of the shit, and I'll scratch it and fucking scrape it and fucking smoke some dirt and fucking rice, stucco, fucking butt hairs. I'm one of those addicts, I don't know if you like me, but when I did the dope that I do, I would get straight butt naked. Immediately. And I wouldn't give a fuck. This is the disease of addiction. And I need to, like, tell it, because there might be somebody in here who has done certain things that ain't been free of it, right? And I'm so sick, man, I wouldn't just stay naked. I would wear my wife's panties. So I had a relationship with my feminine side. Damn. I wasn't supposed to share that one. Damn. What's so beautiful about this program is that once I started to take some steps, I started to understand these things and why I was doing that. And I started to talk to my sponsor, man. And I was like, sponsor, I'm a fucking cross-dresser. He said, yeah, you are. No. And he said, it's okay. He said, it's okay. You have the character defect of lust. For real. For real. He said, fuck, he laughed at my shit. My fifth step was fucked up. I was listening to somebody laugh at me the whole time. Damn, you ran around and tried to hump a cat? Shit. You were sick. Yes, I am. The most beautiful thing about this program is we do recover. We do recover. God damn it, we do recover. I ain't a cat humper no more. Shit. I'm not supposed to share this shit today. I don't know. Relationships. Fucking cat, man. How'd that come up? So relationships for me is like really important, right? I have a relationship with you. I have a real good relationship with you. And the cool part about it is this disease that I have tells me not to do certain things for you. See, the disease that I have tells me to be real self-centered and self-seeking. But what I know today is true is that, like, we have some things that I have learned along the way. And it don't come overnight. Recovery doesn't happen overnight. If you're in the meeting today, I want to just welcome you, even if you haven't taken any steps. I'm talking about if you got 10 plus years and you ain't taking no steps, I welcome you. I welcome you because it's okay. I welcome you because now you have a chance to do something different. See, recovery is my goal in Narcotics Anonymous, not mere abstinence. I want to be free of all the things that I have done so that God can move me into his true essence of what he has in for my life. I'm talking about I want all of the freedom that this program has to offer. It talks about in our literature that I want complete freedom, complete recovery. I don't want to just go to the meeting and listen to you ass talk about you cat-humping motherfucker and like me not be free of me humping a cat too. Fucking cats. I don't know. Meow. If anybody says meow to me, I'm fighting. I fight you. See, what I had to do is I had to understand that, like, in order to become part of you, I needed to, like, do some things on me. It says in our first tradition that personal recovery depends on NA unity, right? Personal recovery is something that I need to do for me, right? It says in our first tradition that self-sufficiency is a lie. It says self-sufficiency is a lie. That means that I cannot be self-sufficient in this process. That means that I need somebody else. That means that I need you. And what happens is when I need you and you need me, that's how unity is created in Narcotics Anonymous. And so I had to understand these things in order to get into the true value of the traditions, right? And I don't want to share a whole bunch of negative stuff about the traditions, but it's real important to speak about the traditions. Because certain things have been going around on in this area, or excuse me, in this, like, I'm from California, right? And I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm a book-thumping guy. I believe in the traditions. I believe in the concepts, and what's happening is I'm starting to see a lot of violations. And it's in my responsibility as a member of Narcotics Anonymous to ensure its stability. I'm talking about its stability is very important to this addict. And it ain't important for me because once I got it, I'm gonna be okay, right? And I ain't saying I got it, I'm just saying that I understand the literature, right? So I'm ensuring its stability because of that addict. I'm ensuring that stability because of that addict, man. That addict that, like, may need to come to this meeting. See, I don't know if you guys got badge checked on the way in this motherfucker. And I share that because I don't appreciate, I have rebellion in my spirit. Shit, I don't even wear my badge. My man, this is Narcotics Anonymous. What you mean, badge check? All these seats open and you gotta check my badge. Where have we gotten? Have we gotten too grandiose in our venue that we need to actually have a whole bunch of registrars, right? Fifth tradition stuff, to be able to, like, carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Is the addict who still suffers the guy who got $1 million in the bank? Or is it that addict that can't stop using, man, and you spent all his goddamn money getting high? I know the traditions, it hurts. But relationships can be a terribly painful area in our lives. For real. So I want to kind of talk a little bit about, like, where I'm at in my life today. You know, I came out here. I love this. I love this convention. I love it. I'm not here to critique it and do all this shit. I believe in the traditions, and it's my responsibility to say certain things, and I share that with love, and I'll get behind every decision this body makes. But what happens is like I came here last year and I got asked to speak. And a lot of wonderful things happened from that last year event. You know, I came out and I shared on the fifth step and the fifth tradition, and a lot of things were happening in my life. You know, I have a business, and it was like tanking. I don't know if you guys know, but California's underwater. Like broke shit. I mean, the police office, the police station is like firing policemen, and they're giving tickets like it ain't no tomorrow. And so what happened is I came out here and I spoke and some things started to happen. And I spoke with this guy named Pat from Virginia, Manassas. And so like I started to like understand that like, hey man, there's a lot of things that I need to like do for our business, right? And like there was no more work. And I employ a lot of people, right? And these people that I employ have like families. You know, we can recover with or without material success. And believe you me, I like material success. I'm not going to be up here sharing, man, material success ain't shit. No, that's not me. I'm sorry. Have no money and have a bill and see how spiritual your ass is. And so, what happened was I was asked to speak in Baltimore, and I was going through a challenge with my relationship for a few years prior, right? And my relationship with my wife has been kind of like a rocky road. And my wife has been like, you know, one of the ones at the beginning, like she was really resistant to me to joining Narcotics Anonymous, and then she conformed, and then like here lately she's been really resistant again, man, for like last 3 years. And I'm grateful for sponsorship because I've been talking to my sponsor and I've been saying, sponsor, man, I don't know if I can, like, do this anymore. You know, my sponsor, man, she's, like, she's character assassinating you. She's character assassinating me. She's character assassinating the program that I believe in, and I don't know what to do. And he said, just keep coming back. And his comment was, it's cheaper to keep her. And I said, you're right. Because I saw everything go. And so what happened was I was asked to speak, and I made the decision to come out and speak, and she gave me that ultimatum. You need to choose me, or you need to choose Narcotics Anonymous. And so what happened was I was faced with the dilemma. A dilemma is like a decision that I need to make that both things are like negative. You know, both things are like, damn, I got to do this or that, damn. And so I talked to my sponsor, and I knew what he was going to say. And he says, you know what to do? And I said, no, I don't want to fucking do nothing. Can't I just do nothing? Fuck, sometimes you just said do nothing, right? Don't do nothing. I ain't doing shit. Fuck, I'm just going to stay here. Where? I don't know. Anywhere. Fuck. And so I went ahead and I made the decision. And the decision that I made was for my recovery. Thank you. You know, it says in our literature that our priorities are crucial. If I don't get my priorities in order, I'm going to be out of order. And so what happened was I made the decision. And I was so scared. So I don't know if you have like this thing inside of me, but coming home to like an empty house was what I was thinking. You gonna be gone and all this other stuff. And so I came out and I shared my experience, strength, and hope, and something happened. Something happened along the way, and I want to kind of like get through this story real quick. You know, something happened along the way. I actually started to see all of our clients out in Washington, D.C., all of our clients in Washington, D.C. had their, like, our names on them. You know how California was underwater, right? And, like, there's no more work. All of our clients are in D.C. So I called sponsor. I said, sponsor, they're here. They're all here. What is here? The fucking cranes. They're here. And we actually do cleaning for, like, large-scale construction buildings, and I saw all the fucking cranes on all these buildings, and I say, they're here. And what happened was they had all of our clients' names on the things. I'm saying, damn, they're here. And I said, what do I do? He says, man, you want to just go ahead and try it out? I said, shit, I got to come back. So I talked to another member. Thank you, Shemaine, for everything you've done in my life. You are very special to me. And this woman has helped me so much. And so, like, I talked to Shemaine, and Shemaine, like, started making some things happen. She talked to Dara, and Dara was leaving her her apartment at the time. And she says, you know, Dara has a spot for you. It's an air mattress, and there's a place for you to stay for a week. And guess what? So-and-so wants to give you a car, and Dana actually has one of those buddy passes. I said, you got to be kidding me. I'm talking about at the, like, end of the stack. You know, I practice these principles in all of my affairs, right? And so I had a prudent reserve, but there was no more prudent in that shit in reserve. The reserve wasn't prudent. But God came on time because I made the decision for Narcotics Anonymous. So the next day I come out and I stayed, right? For real. I'm going to get to the hit, right? And so what happened was I come out here and I land. I said, sponsor, I'm just going out on a limb. Shit, I don't know if they even like us, man, but we're going to go talk to them. And so I land, and then this guy calls me from last year's convention. Last year's convention, Pat called me the day I landed and says, hey, Brian, how you doing, man? I'm just checking in with you. I said, I'm great. I'm in your neck of the woods. How you doing? He says, you're in our... I said, yeah. I said, I'm making a decision to, like, see if there's any business out. He said, oh, what do you do? I said, we do construction. I gave him my spiel. We do construction cleanup, and we'll clean your ass if you need us to. He says, oh, really? He says, do you know what I do? I said, no, motherfucker, what? He says, we are the company that installs all the furniture before they turn the building over. I said, what? He's all, we're the company that installs all the furniture, and guess what my job is? He says, my job is to coordinate all the installations so I have all of your contacts for all of your clients that you're going to go get. I said, well, can you meet with me at lunch tomorrow? Please? I'll buy it. I ain't got no money. And so I met with Pat, and Pat gave me a list of 9 clients. I swear to God. He gave me a list of 9 clients. He said, these are all of our clients that are nearing completion so that you guys can go in there and do your thing. I said, God damn, you got to be kidding me. And so do you know what happened? Some of you know what happened. Most of you should know what happened. So at 12 o'clock, I met with him. And by 3 o'clock, I go into this guy's office and I said, I'm so-and-so with so-and-so company and I'm here to clean your building. He says, well, can you start tomorrow? I said, huh? The power of the program. I'm talking about choosing recovery first. Once I choose recovery, my life falls into place. I got like 7 of the 9 clients out of that list. I'm talking about within a year, clean house, our company, I almost dropped the name, anonymity. We have almost every large contract in D.C., man. I'm talking about in D.C., and that ain't like a direct response to me being a good salesman, although I'm a good salesman. I'm bad. And I learned that from some of my character defects, which God turned into an asset, right? For real, for real. But what's happening is God is like taking me to this area that I always wanted to be in my life spiritually. And it ain't about the material success. It's about that guy who says, Brian, man, I can't feed my family anymore. Can you find any work? I'm like, damn. And so I come out here, and then the next day I talk to my guys in California. I said, hey, I got some work. They said, okay, well, when do we start? I said, but it's in D.C. Washington? Yeah. Oh, well, that's just a state or two above us. I said, no, it's much farther. And you know what they said? It says in our literature that the quality of our life greatly depends on our decisions. So the quality of my life greatly depends on my decisions prior. And so what I was doing was I was actually cultivating relationships with my employees, and I didn't even know that actually acting on character assets as opposed to character defects would actually come to a time where it would come to fruition. And it was like at that particular time where we had the opportunity to like get back a little bit of some of the things that we actually had lost, right? And so what happened was what they said, we'll be in the goddamn car tomorrow. And they drove, and they made it here in 41 hours. 41 hours. Two of my best guys. Two of my best guys. And they're still working today. All because of Narcotics Anonymous and my choice to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I believe in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I hoped I shared something about relations. I know I shared about a goddamn cat I didn't want to share about. Thank you guys for everything you're doing in my recovery, and I love each and every one of you.
Thank you. I just want to know, is it Brian who's formerly from Manteca, California? Yeah. Okay. I have a sponsee back in Phoenix who always says, relationships are for either a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Yeah, yeah. Something a little unusual now. I've been asked to introduce somebody who's going to introduce our next speaker, and I take direction today. So once again, I'm going to introduce Diane S. from Cleveland, Ohio.
I'm an addict. My name is Diane. I'm going to introduce our next speaker, but before I do that, Brian, I have just a small disclaimer. I think I have the best sponsor in Narcotics Anonymous.
Okay. All right.
Just for today, I will have faith in someone who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. I have the pleasure of introducing to you an addict, my sponsor. This addict has taught me about some self-honesty, some compassion, some integrity, some unconditional love, and a whole lot more. I love her. I love her so much. And if you can listen with an open mind, I'm sure that you'll love her too. I give you Holly B. from Cleveland, Ohio.
I'm Holly. I'm an addict. I want to thank an almighty God for his grace and mercy today. Truly, we're blessed. Wow. I don't know if I could go behind cat humping. You know what I'm saying? I was sitting there saying, boy, that's a pretty good one. I love you, Brian. You know, I appreciate the fact that that Narcotics Anonymous has given me the ability to be able to get honest about who I really am. You know, and I know that at some point, that I have shared some stuff in a meeting, and I said, where did that come from? You know, it's only through honest sharing. Can we have a moment of silence so I can get a conscious contact with the God of our understanding? God, grant me the serenity to things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference just for today. You know, I was sitting here and I was listening to Brian, and I was so nervous that I was like knocking my knee up against the bottom of the table, and now I done knocked some holes in my pants, right? You know, it doesn't matter how many times we do this, it never gets any easier. You know what I'm saying? And I remember when I was young, when I first started doing this, I remember there was a Jerry Lewis movie. And he said that he would get up here and he would look at everybody as if they were in their underwear. And so the first few times that I came up here, I looked in the audience and I was in trouble. Because I saw all of y'all in your underwear, you know. Relationships, you know. I said, I want to first thank Sherman, who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. He called me this week, and he said, Holly, you know, I got some good news for you. He said, we need you to come and share at Ocean City. Now, the thing was is that I said, well, I was already coming because, like, every year I hype Ocean City up. You know, this is, like, the best-kept secret on the East Coast for us in the Midwest, you know. And so, like, we were already coming, and we had rented a condo, and I said, well, Sherman, I'm already coming. He said, well, I got your favorite topic. And I said, what is that? He said, relationships. And I said, who the fuck told you that was my favorite topic? You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, out of all the topics a person can give you, relationships is probably on the bottom of the list. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I sat there, and I thought to myself, because, you know, it's like everything cries out for failure. You know, the disease of addiction started telling me, like, you know, I'm like, you don't have any healthy relationships, and you should look at where you at in your recovery now with 17 years, you know. And the disease of addiction will have you focus on the very one thing that you feel is destroying your life. And despite the fact that I know that I have some healthy relationships because of Fourth Step talk about it, that we inventory our relationships, I had to have my sponsees when I told them what the topic was. They was like, well, sponsor, you got some healthy relationships. I had forgot all about it. You know, I'm a literature person too, so I was sitting there on the ocean and I looked up relationship and in Webster Dictionary, and for an addict like me who was termly hip, fatally cool, and lethally intellectual, I found myself having to get a Webster Dictionary when I first got clean. You know, because I was one of them addicts that thought I knew what the word meant. You know, so I looked up relationships and it said to link, to tie, alliance, connection, union, bond, affinity. Now I said, now, I don't know what affinity means. It says natural attraction or linking, relationship by marriage. Then the last one said conjunction. And I looked up conjunction, it said the act of joining, the state of being joined. And then at the bottom of it, it said antonym, which means the opposite. And it said separation or disunion. And I started thinking about, when it talk about the first tradition, and it talk about disunity. Because what I did was when I looked up in the back of the text, I realized that there was more stuff talking about relationships in the traditions than it was in any other part of the book. So, like, I know y'all came here for some gory details, you know. And I had made a conscious decision I wasn't going to tell y'all none. No. You know, the one thing that Narcotics Anonymous has given me is the relationship with God, self, and others. Now, I kind of got to tell you where I come from in order for you to be able to understand what's going on with me, you know. I arrived in Narcotics Anonymous. I was 32 years old, and I came here educated, you know, but when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I came here during the beginning of the crackhead craze. You know, everybody before us had shot dope. So, like, I come in, and they wasn't talking about crack, so I couldn't identify with what was going on. You know what I'm saying? I first had a relationship. My first relationship was with the coffee pot. I walked to the coffee pot 5 times during the meet. I had on a dress that was this high, it was gold, it was spandex, I had on some gold stockings, I had on some gold shoes, I had on gold fingernail polish, and I had a gold bouffant hairdo. And you couldn't tell me that I had not arrived. And I would walk to the coffee pot 5 times. Now, a lot of people said, I wish she'd sit down. You know how we do with the newcomer. She just want to be seen. But what I understood today was that I had abandoned myself so very long ago that I needed for somebody to look at me because I felt so ugly inside. The only people that I could identify with was the guys that came from the penitentiary. Now, I've never been to the penitentiary, but that's what I could identify with. And I had to, like, go through the steps to understand that I was addicted to penitentiary men. Okay, is nobody else in the audience that's addicted to penitentiary men? Or penitentiary women? You know, and so the first relationship I got into was with a man who was sitting in the corner at a meeting, and I remember he had his hat tipped to the side, he had a toothpick in his mouth, and all I remember him saying was he did 15 years in the penitentiary. And you know, as we women do, I said, that's my husband. Now, y'all laugh, but I would spend the first 6 years of my recovery with that man, and we have a child together today. Okay. I realized today that I'm addicted to the dark side. That I'm attracted to men that talk about being killers. Like, I was looking in there, it was talking about unrealistic expectations of ourselves and others. And that when our fantasies are not met, and that still in recovery, I had the fantasy of being Miss Good Pussy or something from James Bond. You know, he be James Bond, and I be Miss Good Pussy or something. I can't remember the woman's name. You know?
Damn.
Good pity. I can't remember her name. But I would live out this James Bond fantasy. I ain't talking about clean. I'm talking about in recovery. Underliningly, when I started doing the fourth and fifth step, when it talked about, there's a whole chapter on relationships. And the first question says, what conflicts in your personality make it difficult to maintain relationships? See, what I know today was I thank God for sponsorship, because every sponsor I ever had said, what part did you play? See, I don't know about you, but I came in here, I was a battered woman survivor. And it was always their fault. I wasn't selfish. I always picked men that had absolutely nothing. No car, no job, no place to stay. I shall rebuild you. Better than you've ever been before. Because I would pick the bionic man.
Damn.
See, what I realized today was I always wanted to somebody to love me, because I couldn't get that for myself. I come from being a child who was fat and heavy set, and a lot of kids called me pig. And I realized through doing this step work that I had abandoned myself a long time ago. That my self-esteem was always built on how I looked on the outside. So when I came in here and y'all took my choices the way y'all told me, it was about the inside job. I had never gotten in touch with that. When I heard him talk about what it was like to be a child, you know, when people say, I wish I could go back to, I ain't never said I wish I could go back to nothing from my past, not because of other people, but because of myself. I'm grateful for the things that happened to me and what God revealed to me on the beach. He said there's an in and there's an out. There's an up and there's a down. He said there can't be no good without a bad. See, I understand today that the good, the bad, and the ugly was absolutely necessary in my life. So, like, when you've been in them relationships way past the expiration date, I know ain't none of y'all experienced that. Every last one of them was absolutely necessary. I had to inventory why I stayed in the relationships that I stayed in. And what I realized was that when I was in the relationships I was in, I was with real possessive men that wouldn't let you out their sight. And I was the person that thought they must love me so much. It's somebody that understands about trying to leave quietly. I wasn't no mouthy woman. I would just say, you know, they'd be like, bitch, get out of my own goddamn house.
Damn.
And I'd be like, okay. And I would grab my bags and I would proceed to the door, and you know what I'm saying? And like I used to be with, like, I wasn't much of an addict, you know what I'm saying? I just like to get high. But I would be with some notorious crazy niggas, okay? You know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I was with one every time.
Okay.
They'd be like, bitch, get out. And I'd be like, okay. And I'd go to the door. They'd be like, I'm going to kill you.
Damn.
And I thought that shit was romantic. One minute they'd be kissing me, and the next minute they'd be choking my ass to death. But isn't God good? Because I'm here to tell the story.
That's right.
Woo. Wow. So I came in here, I was distorted with relationships. My thinking was distorted because, like, I just told you, that I feel like you love me if you beat me. So like every man that looked at me, I thought he liked me. And I didn't know how to say no. And I was arrogant. So I thought, like, you know, everything was a challenge. Because in my mind, I was gangster woman when I came in Narcotics Anonymous. I don't know about y'all. I was listening to my homeboy talk about all the lies I told myself, and I had to get honest through the step work with myself that the only thing I did well was perpetrate. I wasn't a good hoe. I never got a dime for no pussy, for real. Now, like, I share that because that takes courage. Because I come from an era where, like, it was a long line of some hoes that was getting large paper. So when I came in the meeting and I heard they was getting money and I hadn't gotten none, I was scared to share that. But it was only through honest share that I shared it. And women came up to me and they said, I ain't getting no money for my pussy either.
You identified, yeah.
In fact, half the room shared the real deal. I wasn't a good thief. The first time I stole, I got a conscience and tried to put some shit back and got caught.
Damn.
They took me to jail for that shit.
Damn.
I said, I better not steal. So, like, I worked. I worked a job through my whole active addiction. Sometime, too. And for the functional addict, see, because there's some people in here that work through their whole active addiction who thought they didn't have a problem. I knew at the end of the road when I couldn't hold a job that I was who I said I was, an addict. Because at the end, I abandoned myself. We talk about dereliction. You know, I was a bum. The disease of addiction robbed me of a relationship with self. You remember when you were sitting there, when you first started getting high, and you said, like, I wouldn't ever go in the bathroom and do the things that the other women was doing. And then you found yourself doing the same thing that you said you wouldn't do. And then you started telling yourself that it wasn't that bad. See, like, I used to tell myself that as long as I wasn't being penetrated, I wasn't having sex. And you need to know that Bill Clinton did not invent that. I had said that a long time ago. I ain't having sex. Oral sex ain't sex. But even at the end, I couldn't lie to myself. I knew that I was at the end of the road because the lies that I had told myself, I couldn't tell myself anymore. I'm talking about the degradation that I felt as a direct result of the disease of addiction. So it was a lot of surgery that had to be put on me when I got here. For the men, you know, when I started talking about how I really felt, they'd be like, you feel like a dude. Because for a long time, it was about, okay, if you ain't doing what I want you to do next. Because for a long time, I had frozen feelings. I didn't want to feel because feeling was too painful. That was the other way I had abandoned myself. And then the last thing was my relationship with God. The best thing that Narcotics Anonymous has given me back was my relationship with God. And what I realized today, was that I never could have made it without him. See, I'm talking about when your family turn their back on you and your friends tell you, look, don't come by my house. We tired of you stealing from us. God was always with me. And sometimes when I have a tendency to forget how good God is, I go back to memory lane. Have you ever went back to memory lane? Remember at the end of the road? So when I lose my gratitude, I go back to memory lane and I realize that God was good because I should have been dead a long time ago. And through the process of Narcotics Anonymous, to who I would be eternally grateful, I found a relationship with God. So when I sat on the beach, I said, man, who could have told me? You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting on the beach at Ocean City, Maryland, right? And a lady walked by me, and she had a bag with some shells in it. And we started talking, and she said she was from Pennsylvania. And I said I was here for a convention. And she says, well, I know you're not here for a weekend, are you? I said, oh, yeah, I make these trips all the time. But Narcotics Anonymous gave me my life back. And I have a relationship with Narcotics Anonymous. I have an invested interest, Kirk, in Narcotics Anonymous. So when I listen to Brian talk about the things that have happened, it's only been through Narcotics Anonymous. There's no coincidences that you're sitting here today. That if you're here and you're clean, it's okay. This could be the beginning of the rest of your life. If you're here today and you're not clean, it's okay. Because we tell you to come back next week clean. Don't share this week. We'd appreciate it. But come back next week clean and join us sharing with us. You know how we get up there, you know, I remember my first time out the gate, I thought I had some shit to share. I was going to tell y'all how to recover. And I'm glad I come from the old school where they would just tell you to shut the fuck up and sit the fuck down. You know. But I thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I spent my whole life wanting somebody to love me. And I remember that I always wanted my mom to say she was proud of me. And all my life, I did everything to please my mom because I just wanted her to say that she was proud of me. And so with 3 years clean, I called my mom and I said, guess what, Mom? I got 3 years clean. She said, I am so proud of you. I spent 30-something years waiting for my mother to say she was proud of me. And it was only through Narcotics Anonymous that I was able to hear those words before she died. So if you're sitting there and you're waiting to have a relationship with somebody that maybe you thought you could never have a relationship with, I'm telling you right now that all things are possible through Narcotics Anonymous. Lost dreams awaken and new possibilities arise. Well, I think that's the end of my story. I appreciate Ocean City, Chesapeake Potomac area asking me to share. And with that, God bless you.